We made this.
Hi Paul, welcome along to another edition of We Buy Records.
Hi Tim, how are you?
I'm very well, my name's Tim Scully and your name's Paul Field. That's about it, isn't it?
Yep.
Is there any housekeeping?
A little bit, Tim. So, I popped into your shop on Saturday.
Oh, it's me being told off.
Yes. And what did you tell me, Tim?
So I told you at about 11:05 on a Saturday morning that at 9:30 a.m. that morning, Oxfam in your hometown of Bexhill.
How far from my front door?
About 2 minutes from your front door.
Right.
We're putting out a huge brace of mostly 90s vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
And I told you that an hour and a half later when you travelled to my neck of the woods, which is not your hometown.
No. And what happened when I got there, Tim?
Was it all gone?
There was a guy knelt down at what the cheap section was for all the pound stuff with a big pile of 92 hardcore there. I could see the Suburban-based labels on them. He had his phone open on Discogs, and you could see he was having an absolute whale of a time rinsing through all these collectible
darts. The stuff that should rightfully have been yours.
Exactly.
Was he sweating, Paul?
I don't...
Or is he a war veteran?
I think, yeah, he looked like he'd served, this guy.
So there was no
sweat. No chance of any sweating. I did call you various names in Oxfam. And then when I came outside Oxfam... And
you called me up to call me
more names.
Yeah. I'm so sorry, Paul.
That's all right. Hey, you win some, you lose some.
But did you get anything?
I did. I got about 6 12-inches. I got like pulp, do you remember the first time, for a couple of quid?
Which is fantastic.
Yes, what's that, £12? Something like that now?
Definitely over a tenner, definitely.
But that makes it actually worse because you know what the prices were on those.
Well, as I said to you when you were chewing me out on the phone, I remembered there was a time I went into a charity shop in Tunbridge Wells, and they had loads of great pop albums. I think they were £1 each, and I bought about sort of six. You know, they didn't have that many, but I bought about 6 or 7, and I just said to the woman in passing, "Oh, these are good. It's like, you know, nice to find some nice records in a charity shop." I said, "Oh yes, I know. Well, we only put them out this morning, and someone before you bought about 30 of them," and I thought, absolutely fine.
Listeners, if you ever just missed out on a really great haul, do let us know.
If you've ever been behind somebody in a charity shop or at a car boot sale or something.
Oh, I've been behind
and
a guy
their
at
greedy
car boot.
Little fingers are clutching. Yeah, we've all been there.
Brighton Racecourse. I bent down to look at some tapes, 50p tat tapes, and a guy overtook me on my right. And when I caught up with that said person on my right, he was bent over this guy's collection of like 90s records and rinsing through them at £1 each. And he must have pulled out a couple of hundred.
What, really?
Yeah. Like 4 crates.
And it's funny, in those cases, you kind of feel like the person selling them should maybe have an inkling that maybe they've massively underpriced them if they're going that well. If somebody's frantically buying hundreds of your records, maybe you've underpriced them.
Tell you what, you'd love to have had a camera on my face that day, stood behind him.
I mean, someone always wins and someone always loses.
Correct.
Sometimes it's the seller that loses because they don't realise what they've got. Sometimes it's you or me that loses because we're one person behind. Oh, well.
C'est la vie.
So, I had a thing today. Speaking of being behind somebody in a shop, it's not related to records, so people can skip this bit if they want. But I was in a popular budget supermarket today, and I had 3 items in my hands. They were a portion of fresh salmon, a bag of nuts, and a packet of off-brand Jaffa cakes. Right, that's what I had.
How very middle class of you, Tim.
So, it paints a picture, doesn't it? And I was in the middle of the queue for a till, with a few in front of me, a lot of stuff on there, you know, on the conveyor belt. I was like, you know, just thinking, I've only got three things, it's tedious. A voice comes over the tannoy. We are opening till 8, so please make your way. So I did. I thought, oh, brilliant. Grabbed my three items, wandered around to line 8, at the same time as a woman with a trolley full of stuff. We both got there at the same time, but she technically got there before me. And I asked her, neither of us had put anything down on the conveyor belt at this point. And I said to her, oh, do you mind if I just pop in front of you? Because I've only got three items. And she pulled the sourest face you've ever seen. And so I slightly passive-aggressively, but also genuinely said, sorry, is it not okay? And she said, well, I haven't got a choice now, have I? And I said, no, you do, that's fine, I won't. You please go first, that's absolutely fine. So I picked them up and went behind her. She started putting out stuff. And I said, out of interest, have you never been in this situation? Have you never been the one that's got one or two things?
You weren't letting this go, were you?
And she said, yes, I have. And I said, so you must... And she said, no, because I'm polite.
I always let the person with two items go in front. That's the rules.
Yes, that's the rules. Because you do it to them, they'll do it to you at some point.
Karma, Tim. We've talked about karma on this podcast.
This woman was in her mid-60s.
Mm.
And what are you saying? She's never in her life been in a situation where the right thing to do was either for her to nip in or to let someone else nip in. I don't buy it, Paul.
Grumpy man in the one stop around the corner from my house. Me and Catherine were in there last week, I think it was, and buying a couple of items. And we were stood quite a way back from where you conduct the transaction in there. Just give some, you know, personal space. Mm-hmm. And this old boy comes charging along past me, goes, you're not in the queue then? Pushes straight in front of me and just stands there and he's not moving. And I thought, and he was so rude.
Mm.
And I thought, I really wanted to say something.
So did you?
No, I didn't. I bit my tongue on this guy. I let him get away with it because he was old.
But this woman wasn't, she wasn't old enough for that to be the excuse. Mm. But that often is the excuse. A bloke today in Bexhill, because we were there briefly today, parallel parked on the busy main road to wander into Lloyd's Bank to see how busy it was.
Oh, yeah. They do it all the time. They double park in the middle of the town centre.
So just sort of
road.
Strolled in.
Always outside Lloyd's.
What is... people are just... I don't like them anymore. I've gone off them. Massively gone off people. So that's our housekeeping, isn't it? Oh, we've got one more bit of housekeeping.
Oh, yes. We're going to do a Christmas special.
We are.
We're going to...
Get your Christmas hats on.
Yep.
Start thinking about it.
We are going to invite the listeners to send us in their... We'll ask on Twitter, I guess, to send us in their favourite Christmas albums. We've asked one of our listeners who is an expert on Christmas records. She is going to write in with a top five for us. So I'm not really...
Including valuations, I believe.
Yes, absolutely. Because I'm not an... I have got a box of Christmas records, but I'm not an expert on Christmas records. I just like any old toot.
It's like most of your music taste, isn't it?
Oh.
So, shall we do the news? Paul, the big news that's on everybody's lips.
Mm-hmm.
Counterfeit vinyl.
Oh.
So Tommy Boy Records, you'll know Tommy
yep.
Boy, home to De La Soul, 808 State at one point, Queen Latifah. Their president, Rosie Lopez, has claimed at the Making Vinyl Conference in Los Angeles that...
What goes on at the Making Vinyl Conference, Tim?
No idea.
Okay.
That Amazon are selling counterfeit vinyl records under their Fulfilled by Amazon program, whereby third-party sellers can have their items sold and shipped by Amazon on their behalf, and Amazon takes a little slice of the profit. Alarm bells rang for Tommy Boy when they found vinyl pressings of their releases on sale on Amazon that they had never released on vinyl. Which I think it's a dead giveaway, isn't it?
I've had adverts pumped into my email from Amazon for albums that I know are bootlegs.
So you've been there.
Seen it. Depeche Mode in particular, they had there's an album on there. It's still there at the moment. I can't remember what it was. I think it might be...
How do you know it's a bootleg?
Because it's got Depeche Mode on the front. It's claiming to be by them and it's nothing to do with them or the label.
Fair enough. Well, so this comes on the heels of news earlier this year that an RIAA, the Recording Institution of Artists of America, I've made that up, but it could be that. The RIAA study found that 25% of all CD sales that were fulfilled by Amazon last year were counterfeit. 25% of all CD sales.
Well, weirdly, the whole thing of counterfeit records and bootlegs, Discogs now don't sell them, whereas Amazon, and indeed you can walk into HMV and buy them in the store. They're fine with it.
I think, isn't it, that it's that thing of grey area releases, like people pressing up radio sessions and live FM broadcasts.
There's a lot of that, yeah.
Boulder, Colorado in 1986, and you kind of think, have you licensed it? You know what? I don't know enough about the rights.
They usually do have some kind of licensing thing on them, but it probably could be from, you know, like Venezuela.
It's
been licensed by the Venezuelan music
tourist board. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Now, so these CDs that we're talking about, overwhelmingly the bootlegs come from China, and it looks like that's where the counterfeit records are coming from as well.
Oh, you think they're coming from China
yes.
now?
Yes. A spokesperson for Alliance Entertainment, who was also speaking at the Making Vinyl conference, said, "I just learned last week. I never knew they were manufacturing vinyl in China. I opened my eyes and said, holy crap. That means that all the counterfeiting of CDs and box sets and video, and now vinyl, is coming in the same way into the US. Amazon doesn't really care because they still make their fulfillment fees. Amazon makes it really easy for that product to come straight into the US and, by extension, the UK."
That's big China. If China are doing it.
Chinese bootleg records. So he doesn't cite any sources, but there you go. Hooky vinyl pressing plants in fucking China.
Watch this space.
We're gonna investigate. We're gonna don our investigation glasses and
we'll keep monitoring that one.
We will.
Does this really qualify as news? But it was something I was reading in Mixmag, all about the DJ Sven Vath and his 40-year love affair with both vinyl records and Technics decks.
It's not news yet, but keep going. We'll see if it becomes news.
So you've played out. You've done a bit of DJing.
Many times, yeah.
And, back in the day, I used to do quite
a
lot.
You used to be a bit of a whiz.
Yes. What I didn't have was a tech rider. Now, Sven will only play records. So if you're coming to his club, he has a right-hand man who goes in ahead of him to check that there's always all been done. Can you think of anything when you've been playing out that you would have requested or asked for? That the decks work, I guess.
That the decks work.
Mm.
That the mixer works.
Right. I think Sven's taking those as a given.
Oh, all right, okay.
So he wants to know about the size and the height of his mixing table.
The height?
Yep. The distance between Sven and his records.
At all times. When he's in bed.
Yep. The distance of the monitors.
Wow.
Where drinks go. How much space has been allocated around Sven. The venue must do a full sound check of a full record, including its maximum peak volume.
That's very sensible. That's very good.
The venue must supply two spare turntables, and he brings two spare turntables himself, plus spare slip mats, spare needles, tone arms, everything. They have to check the power supply. The problems normally are on the absorbers for the vibration and
wow.
stuff. That's thorough.
I like this.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
Amazing.
Because he wants to put on a good show and doesn't want it to fall apart.
What he says is a band rehearse before they go on stage. They check all their equipment, and he does exactly the same thing. He treats his audience with the maximum amount of respect. Doesn't just want to turn up and play records. He wants to make sure everything is perfect for them and so nothing goes wrong during the evening.
So next time I'm DJing at the Shitty Whistle.
Yep.
This right.
is what, yeah.
Oh my
your
God.
Tech rider, Tim.
Wow. I really like it.
Yeah.
Because obviously he's playing super clubs that charge a fortune to get in and pay him a fortune. So I think completely fair play. The level that he's at.
Well, that's why he's still playing these clubs 40 years on.
Yeah.
If you want Sven to...
Have you got the prices?
No, if... No, no.
Oh, I thought you were going to say...
If you want Sven...
If you fancy having him for your birthday party...
To play your record...
Yes.
Do not, under any circumstances, give him a USB stick. You have to have a minimum of a dub plate or better. However, he listens to every single record he gets in full at home.
No, he doesn't. No, there aren't enough hours in the day.
That people have given him. Sven, can you play my record?
He will listen to it.
If you've gone to the trouble to press up a dub play, of course he will. I think that's a fair exchange. If you've gone to the expense of
like
trouble...
I like this Sven Vath guy.
He's good, isn't he?
I like him.
Yeah. See, you know, you're not wasting his time then.
Does he seem like an all right dude?
I went to one of his 12-hour sets once. That was what I missed craft. Now you see why I missed craft work.
That's right. It was Sven Vath.
Yeah.
Wow. No, I still don't see why you missed, you fucking idiot. Of course I don't see why you missed craft work. But that was a Sven Vath set.
Mm.
Yes. And was it good?
It was amazing. They had all the artists from IQ playing and he topped it off with a 12-hour set. So before that you had Hard Floor and Earth Nation and some other guys. It was really good.
Crunchy Biscuit.
You had Crunchy Biscuit, they were, yes. That was it. I was just fascinated by a guy who will only play records, only listen to your records, and that's been his stance for 40 years.
I think some people might think, who is he, Mariah Carey kind of thing, but I think those people are wrong. Yeah. I think that's absolutely bang on.
Yep.
Three cheers, I say, for Sven Vath.
So, Tim, you know we talk about vinyl stupidity and crazy prices on this show quite a lot.
There's a lot of it.
There is. Well, Discogs have been having a dig around in their data of millions and millions of listings and finding what, at first glance, you might think of as vinyl stupidity, but actually, it isn't. Occasionally, these incredibly high prices attached to records are completely
justified.
What's
the opposite of stupidity?
Vinyl integrity?
Oh, that's good. Crumbs. So you've gone through their...
Yeah, we've whistled down the list. We've split it in half. And what we're going to do is... I mean, I'm going to get them all wrong anyway, I know. But now, we've talked about this on the show before. Prince, the Black Album.
So this is highlighting a few of the things that they've found for sale right now on Discogs at very high prices.
Very high prices, but justified high prices. So we talked about
Ponce.
This. Yes, so we talked about this back in June 2018. A promo copy of the Evil album, Prince the Black Album, became the most expensive item ever. There's now another copy on there. Any ideas? Because it would set a new record if it sold.
So is it way more than the previous one?
No.
Thing is,
quiz. Well, just do a bit of fun because I'm going to get one wrong.
My memory is very poor, so I can't actually remember what the previous one was.
Okay.
But it was something like $150,000.
No, it wasn't.
It? No. Was it way less than
that? Yes, it was way less than that. So I'll tell you, it's £38,000.
Oh, Paul.
But we'll come on to this at the end. We'll touch upon whether you're actually buying a record or not at that price point.
Well, that's it. It's you know, isn't there? I was reading an article that talked about the rising price of the properly rare records and how they are commodities now. They are investments now.
Okay, well, we'll talk about it now. We'll talk about it at the end. But yeah, effectively, you're investing that money. You would never play that item. It's almost like buying people invest in wine, gold, paintings.
The wine one is equally mystifying, isn't it? Because there you're spending
for us,
a fortune,
Tim, because
to buy something that is a drink,
yes,
that you're not going to drink.
No,
that's really.
Would you say at $38,000, that becomes an investment piece? You wouldn't play it.
Yes, yeah. Yes, I would.
I think, but then
because imagine just accidentally, just a little hairline.
Yeah, I mean,
scuff.
You're effectively moving into the art world with Sotheby's and paintings and stuff. It's that kind of.
No, it is.
Yeah. What have you got?
Have you heard of a band called Depeche Mode?
I am aware of their work.
So you may know of a 1981 single, Dreaming of Me.
Yes.
But what about the original single-sided 12-inch acetate?
Ah.
A lot is being asked for it, but does that sound to you like something that would be very sought after by Depeche collectors?
I imagine it would be. Well, I see acetate somewhere a bit funny because I like to play my records and you probably wouldn't play that.
Because they would wear out, wouldn't they, I think, an acetate?
Yeah, I've got a few. But
have you?
Yeah. I've got some Frank Tovey and stuff.
Presumably none by Depeche Mode.
No, AC Marias, Frank Tovey, okay. I think I've got one
so
left.
So you've got some mute acetates.
Yeah, I've got some mute ones. Yeah, they were a gift.
Cool. So what do you reckon? We're into the... Well, it's a lot of money.
£800.
Well, someone is asking $40,000 for it.
Whoa!
But it could be pretty much a one-off. But at this point,
yeah,
like it, you know, I think it's, with a few of these are things that, like, basically they don't exist. And if one person has got it for sale, they can slightly name their price, because if you're an obsessive completist and this one thing has popped up, that is your chance to get it.
That's insane. 40 grand for a Depeche Mode 12-inch.
Don't, Paul, don't be... I can see the look on your face thinking, now if we mortgage the
house,
the cat.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't do that.
Now, I know you're aware of the work of this next artist, Mr. David Bowie.
Very much so.
He did an album called The
Friend
Next...
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show, Mr. David Bowie. Yes, he did an album called The Next Day.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, right. Well, he did a limited edition for UNICEF, an auction for children. And... there were 50 copies sold. Six of those 50 copies are currently available in the Discogs marketplace, which tells you a lot.
Yeah.
They are available for sale. Want to have a guess? There's a price range here.
$5,000 and up.
I'll give you that. $3,800 to $65,900.
That's quite a range.
That's a range. I don't know why. I don't know the ins and outs of why.
I mean, do we know, were they signed? Do we know, is there anything? I guess they are just, unique, aren't they?
There were 50 copies.
Yeah, that's not many, is it?
No.
For Bowie. Yeah, all right, fair enough. Right, here we go. This is a good one.
Go on.
Are you familiar with The Flaming Lips?
Vaguely. I've heard of them.
It's a sort of psychedelic pop band. They used to be good.
Okay.
They did, I think in about 2012, they put together an album called The Flaming Lips and Heady Fwens, which is a kind of collaborative LP with lots of other pop stars. And I believe there were 10 copies only of this. And it's so limited and rare as a double LP because in every record is a load of blood.
Oh, like, this is proper gimmick sleeves here. When you say, do you mean not fake blood like in...
I mean real blood.
Ah.
And the blood of, among other people, Erykah Badu, Chris Martin, and Sean Lennon, son of John Lennon.
Wow.
So these are all people who I believe collaborated with The Flaming Lips on this record. And he got a bit of all of their blood, mixed it together, and put a little bit inside these 10 records and then pressed the record around the blood.
Oh, that's proper wanky, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm not a fan.
I think, but it's psychedelic, isn't it? Somehow. So yeah, I used to love The Flaming Lips. I'm just gonna put
do you want me to guess how much it's worth?
Yeah, maybe not as much as you might think.
Well, what I'm thinking is, did they do it to rinse some money out of their fans, or did they sell them at a normal price and
they
now people
sold them at $2,500 each?
Right, so they did in fact do what I said originally then.
Maybe.
I'm gonna say $6,000.
They're now selling for $14,000 to $15,000.
So it was a good investment at two and a half, but
yeah,
still.
If anyone buys it.
Money for old rope, though.
Maybe
from the original project.
Maybe. I sort of think it's cool. I don't know, maybe. Listeners, is it cool? Are The Flaming Lips cool?
You'll have heard of these people. It's Paul and Linda McCartney, the lady who did the vegetarian sausages.
Oh, her and her husband?
Yes.
Yes.
It's an album called Ram.
That's one of the best albums ever made.
Okay.
Carry on.
It's a mono version. Now, apparently you can buy this masterpiece much cheaper, according to Discogs. But if so, you know...
I didn't know that a mono version existed.
There are 100 copies available that were sent out to radio stations in the United States.
I guess for AM radio play, which was mono, wasn't it?
There are two halves and 114 wants. How much... do you think people are asking for a copy of a record by the lady who made the vegetarian sausages?
$4,000.
$12,500.
Wow.
It's a lot, isn't it?
I didn't know that existed.
Right, Pink Floyd, The Piper at the Gates of Dawn test pressing.
Fucking hell.
So, this copy checks...
there is a copy for sale?
Yep, this copy checks every single box which might lead a record to the altar of collectors' holy grails. Pink Floyd, Japanese, test pressing, 1960s, never sold before on Discogs. There are two copies for sale.
I wouldn't even trust that that was real then. I'd be so skeptical that that is
They're
legit.
Saying you're going to this you're almost certainly now going to see this record in the top 30 most expensive items.
Yeah, there's no
It's not as much as you think actually.
Really?
It's $15,000.
Is that all?
Oh, do you want, there's two for sale, take both.
But okay, I mean so that's the same price as some bit of psychedelic wank from the Flaming Lips. Not wank, sorry, blood. See what that was, did a joke. Wow. I mean that is not as much as that because that's such a
But if nobody's bought it before, you need that first crazy person. They could have put 30 grand each, 50 grand each. Would somebody have bitten? Because once you've set that precedent,
a lunatic might have bitten.
It's so when you've got a tiny market with you know a tiny portion of sellers that having that lack of fluidity means to find the real value is really difficult.
And also, lest we forget, $15,000 is a lot of money.
Yes,
when art and collectibles and rarities are when the prices are floating around, you can lose a little bit of sense of, in real terms, for normal people, how much money this is. And given how my top threshold for a record is about 25 quid, 30 quid, which I know is ridiculous, given that now new albums cost that much. But to buy a second-hand collectible thing, I don't like going over about 30 quid. I bought a Stereolab album that was kind of gold and glittery vinyl for about 60 quid. I think that's the most I've ever spent for me on a single... record.
That we, I know it's vulgar to talk about money, but we will ask the listeners what the most money they've spent on the record is.
No, we should do. Do you know, off the top of your head, do you know what?
Mine? So I think it's only 120, something like that.
So that's still
typically
double mine, but it's still within, it's still not $15,000, is it?
You know? No.
Yeah, that's we should definitely ask him. But it is vulgar,
yes.
And it's not very British, but we should ask
him. Exactly, because people are nosy.
Eagle-eared listeners may notice that the podcast is a little bit late.
One person.
All right, one person, not that fussed, but was like, oh, is it late? I've been in Japan, that's why. I've been in Japan having fun and buying records for the shop.
Tim?
Yes.
Did you find any because this could affect the length of the segment because I'm like it's, you know it's getting last knockings now. Did you find any Japanese Depeche Mode pressings?
I looked in and asked at every record shop I went to. Zero, absolutely none.
Yeah, I know. However, Tim, I went on the internet.
Yeah, quick Google and you found
and
some.
I found some, which you then had to go and fetch.
And the point was, what you found was only available on Discogs.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is quite interesting.
Yep. Not available in the shop because I get they've got to that price point or I don't know. They weren't that expensive though.
Yeah, I don't really know.
That was such a good shop because I don't know if you had a chance to have a look through their other stuff.
I did.
I found that their prices were much lower than anyone else. For all of the items that I wanted, they were significantly cheaper.
So this was Ella Records in Tokyo, Japan.
Is this a trip report, Tim?
Oh, the beginnings one. Yes, it is. Yeah, I went to Tokyo and I bought records and this is my report. What I'd like to do is sort of say some things that might be helpful to people if they're going. So this can be a bit of just a few thoughts about you're going to Tokyo for a week. Here's some things to think about.
Well, I think I'd rewind a step back from that as well. What is the appeal of Japanese records? Why are they slightly different?
God.
Because some listeners may not buy or have seen many Japanese pressings.
Well, there's two parts of that, which is one that Japanese records are beautifully made in lovely thick cardstock covers with liners and inserts and inners that you won't find on any other pressings. The pressing quality, anecdotally, is very good. I don't know if that's true, but that's what people say. They have a weight to them. They're really nice things. You'll get unique Japanese pressings that didn't exist elsewhere. You'll get sort of compilation records or extended versions of singles where we might have got a single. They pushed up to a mini album in Japan. But also, Japan is now the home of all records. So over the past 50 years, Japanese collectors and shops have been traveling the world, buying up massive collections and shipping them back to Japan. So now if you want to go to the best rockabilly shop in the world, it's in Osaka. If you want to go to the best punk shop in the world, it's in Koenji, right? So it's just doubly good. It's doubly brilliant for record collecting.
And something I've found, whenever I've bought a Japanese record, it's always been undergraded massively. They look like they're brand new. Do Japanese people ever play their records? Because my exposure is limited, but I am yet to see anything knackered.
So I will tell you, they do exist.
Ah.
And what's funny is you'll get the Japanese system on the label in record shops tends to be kind of A, B, C, or and then might be like A minus, B plus, C minus. If it says A, it will be absolutely mint, unbelievable. If it says B, it will either still be absolutely mint, unbelievable, or it will be knackered.
Ah.
So it doesn't really make any sense because they do exist. Knackered Japanese records definitely do exist. And in Japan, I have found record shops don't like you looking at the vinyl without asking them.
Okay.
It's not like a lot of countries where, oh, that looks interesting, have a quick check of the record. No, you need to choose what you might be interested in, then go up to the counter and say, you know, I might be interested in these, can I have a look at the condition of the records? And they'll say, yeah, of course you can.
God, if you're buying a lot, that's a bit of a pain, no?
It's worth it, though.
Okay.
It's worth it. And you know, especially if you're putting out lots of B-grade records, 90% right. of them will be mint or just you know, super mint. Plus, 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 A, star records. And then one in 10 will be kind of bad. And as in reject, you know, not buyable bad. And they're all graded B when most of them have got nothing wrong with them. So that I didn't understand. I will never quite understand the Japanese grading system. But so, Paul, there are three big secondhand or new and secondhand sort of chains in Tokyo: Disc Union, HMV, no relation to our HMV, weird, I think they just nicked the name, and Coconuts Disc. They're all worth going in. Different branches vary quite a lot in terms of stock and price. There's now not consistent on price. Disc Union in particular, you can go into one branch, everything is astronomically expensive. You'll go into another branch around the corner, same items, less than half the price.
Wow.
So, I mean, or even a fifth of the price.
Were you checking stuff on Discogs before you were buying?
No, I wasn't. I just thought, if this looks good and that price, I'm happy to pay, and so I would buy stuff.
Okay.
I think in Japan, it's all so good that you can just take a punt. And worst case scenario is, if you're buying it to sell, as we are, the worst case scenario is you're going to at least, say, double your money. That's kind of the worst, you know.
Is there a type of genre that's kind of sticks out above any others out there?
They've just got everything. They've got literally everything. They've got every hip-hop record ever made. You know, they've got every jazz record ever made, multiple copies of. It's just bonkers. So I personally recommend Coconuts Disc. I think they had the most, they had less stock than some of the other shops, but their prices, I think, were the best. But they're all worth looking in. But, and something else I should say about these shops, if you're thinking of going, is sales. Now, we were quite unlucky this time, timing-wise, with what they had to offer. But they'll do slightly conceptual sales all the time. So, for example, this week, all prog is in a special flash sale.
Oh, okay, cool.
This week, everything with a yellow sticker is 30% off. And these are things that, so a lot of the shops, they'll have different coded stickers, you know, like labels, which I think correlates to when they went out, or maybe it correlates to how appealing they think the record is. So, like, you know, pink label records are what they think are the best, and yellow ones are like, yeah, run of the mill. So that
what colour would I like, Tim?
probably the lowest, yeah, the lowest colour. And then they can say, okay, all of our ones that we think are one of them, or all the ones that are old, I don't know, but you know what I mean. Yeah. They're all half price for a month. And it's pretty bonkers, some of the sales.
And plus with the culture, it's what they might think is undesirable might, precisely, over here, be quite desirable.
Precisely. But the other thing that I wanted to talk about, the obvious shops that people go to, tourists, that record diggers go to, Disc Union, HMV, Coconuts Disc, great. What you should also do is go on Google Maps and look for record shops that are in the areas that you're in and find the dusty old microscopic back alley record shops, because they won't have the modern weird cool stuff that Disc Union has, but they'll have stuff that they've had for 20-30 years. They'll have the, you know, well, not Depeche Mode definitely, but they'll have just good stuff that they've had for ages at good prices that have never gone up, and you'll hunt for them and you'll find great stuff. And I found that time and again. Conversely, let's say there's a little town centre with two shops in it. One of them will have Wham, Blondie, Bruce Springsteen, Pet Shop Boys, and they'll be about £3.50 each. You'll go around the corner and that will have the same record, same condition, same version, and they'll be asking £25 each for them. So you know that disparity that you get everywhere in the world, that you get better priced record shops and worse priced, yep, record shops. Something very odd has happened in Japan, as in it's the disparity is like headache inducing.
Well, the thing is, if you're ripping people off, you only need to sell one record to the other guy's five.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true, but you still have to sell them to somebody.
Yes, but you only need to sell one. Economics.
It's true, isn't, yeah, it? Yeah. Well, you got me thinking there.
That's why they do it.
We need to change our model a bit. But so, for example, I found the first Japanese press of Bruce Springsteen, Darkness on the Edge of Town, with the Obi, the little strip, you know, that sort of had promoting the record down the side. Perfect condition. It was 500 yen, which is about £3.50, £3. And then I think it was the next day I was in another record shop in the same area and they had the same record for 2,800 yen, which is about £20.
The Obi's quite important though, isn't it? They had the Japanese records.
But yes, it is. In this case, they both had the Obi. Something else then, you can hoover up incredible stuff because it hasn't got the Obi.
Ah, because as soon as that goes missing, the, yeah, value plummets.
Some shops it doesn't. And some,
oh, really?
Yeah, and in some shops it really does. Some shops are like, well, this is basically worthless shit now.
Yeah, I would never buy them without the Obi.
But if you are prepared to, then you can get.
And that Obi's, because it's so fragile as well.
Yeah. I was in a shop where I bought a little stack of Japanese Yellow Magic Orchestra-related records. And they all had the Obi and they're all lovely. And the guy took the plastic sleeves off them that were like the shop sleeves, which I think sealed. And he was going to put on non-sealing sleeves for me. And in between taking off the shop sleeves and putting on the open-edged sleeves, he managed to tear the Obi.
What happened?
His face. He just didn't know how to communicate his shame. And I just said, oh, don't worry, it's fine. It wasn't fine, Paul.
No.
But what can you do?
Oh, cry?
His face. Well, I think he nearly cried. And he was quite young. He was probably in his early 20s, lad. And just his face.
How was the... Because you speak a little bit of Japanese?
A tiny, tiny bit.
So how's the language barrier for... Well, I was going to ask you, because I already know the answer to this. It's a spoiler. Haggling, Tim.
You can't do it. You can't do it. So... you know, I was talking about finding these little out-of-the-way record shops down a side street that aren't part of some big chain, that aren't that cool, and it's probably an old jazz-loving guy running it. There was one in particular that I found, and I went about four times to his shop, spent about 100-something pounds each time. So he got over 400 quid out of me in about a week and a half. And he... I only asked a couple of times for a discount, and normally I just got a no. On one occasion, he did give me about £3 off £120 spend.
Whoa!
So overall, for about 400 quid spent, I got what is that in percentage terms? £3 off 400.
Bugger all,
oh, it's
Tim.
Bugger all, isn't it? And Japan famously has amazing customer service, and they're very demonstratively welcoming and kind of, you might say, fawning. And I've spoken to Japanese people who find it really insincere and hateful the way that Japanese customer service is done. But to a foreigner, it just seems really, really friendly and welcoming and professional. But not in the little secondhand record shops where they don't acknowledge you. They just go, when you say, oh, thank you very much.
How do you think they cope with me, Tim?
They would not. They'd not like it.
Why not?
They might punch you, I think.
Do you reckon?
Yes, I do reckon. So my final time I went to this shop where he gave me a total of £3 off. You know, he had a face like thunder the last time because I'd gone 5 minutes over his closing time. Never mind that I was handing my money over to him every time I went in there. He basically wouldn't speak to me no matter how many times I said thank you or hello or whatever in Japanese. Just pretty much the only thing he said to me was when I was leaving on that last occasion, having just handed over money, in English, shut door.
Beautiful.
But it was funny. It was a good anecdote, but fuck me. I mean, that's
you're
kind
rubbish
of it.
At haggling anyway, Tim. So I find it hilarious.
I really hate it.
I would dread it because I would like not be able to. I would insist on at least trying.
You can try, but they'll be offended. Oh, and I was in the shop, Paul. The shop where you found the online sale of Depeche Mode and Yazoo and Madonna and stuff, which I went to, and it was great. This is Ella Records, and there's a couple of them. The one I went to was somewhere in West Tokyo, and it was excellent. I asked him, apologetically, any chance for a discount? And he said, oh, no, my manager says that you can only have a discount if you spend over 100,000 yen, which is about 700 quid.
Crikey, if I was spending 700 quid in a record shop...
Blowjob, right? You would surely, at the very least...
I'd be like, tell you what, I'll give you 500 quid for the lot, take it or leave it, and they'd take it.
Yeah, they would. Not in Japan, they wouldn't.
No.
It's bizarre. It's really... So it's something that I was musing, because I didn't remember the disparity being that huge between the well-priced shops and the high-priced shops. I have a fear that it's that those older shops haven't changed their model and haven't changed their stock, and that as they get older and either if they die or if their stock gets sold, that thing of fairly priced Japanese record shops may well eventually be a thing of the past.
It is weird when I saw this last week where something had been in stock for so long that it was then priced at half its actual value.
Yeah.
I bought a Trance 12-inch, but I could see that he dated all the stickers. And I think it had been in there for 5 years. Well, since he put that in that bin, it's doubled
up,
in value.
Yeah. I mean, that happens, doesn't it? And it's it's fine. And that can happen with if you're lucky enough to find a new shop. So because that was secondhand, I presume, that Trance record. Yeah. Sometimes you'll find that new shops that are not very busy but that have got a lot of stock may have some random early noughties record in there, which actually has now become a 200 quid collectible. It doesn't happen very often, but it can happen.
Yeah, happened in Germany. Bought a Depeche Mode album from, I think, the Sounds of the Universe. Can't remember what year it was. But anyway, they had an original pressing at the price it was when it was supposed to have been released. I'd like to go to the counter and ask them if this was correct.
And he was like, yeah.
Yeah.
How had that not sold?
I don't know. It's so weird.
God, record shops are really odd.
I think they may have put it out thinking it was a repress. I don't know.
So if you like Japanese food and records, I say go to Japan and, you know, eat lots of food and hunt for records.
Failing that, go to Tim's shop because he's got loads of Japanese records he's
That's
trying to
true,
ship.
Actually. And they're good. They're nice. And there's lots more to come as well. We've still got loads that we haven't put out yet. Oh, it's so good, Japan. I really hated coming back to Britain. You know when you go on holiday for too long?
Yes.
And you adjust. And you're like, this is my life now. And then you come back to the freezing cold, grey, yeah. I did think of the come friendly bombs and fall on Slough. Not that I even live in Slough, but, you know, it's that, it's a thing, isn't it? It's like reverse culture shock. Paul, it sucked those first couple of days back. It was only when I saw your bonny face then the clouds parted. It was good.
So this week's quiz, Tim.
Yes, I like a quiz.
Little peek behind the curtain. This took me bloody hours, and it's going to take about 2 minutes to do, because I was trawling and trawling Discogs for values. So what I've done here, I've got some values of records from the UK, and then you need to guess the price of a foreign variant of that record.
Ooh, okay.
So, for example, we're going to start off Kylie Minogue's album, Kylie.
Yes.
A UK copy will cost you £3.
Right.
How much is a Japanese variant?
£25.
You're not far off, actually. £33.
Come on, that's pretty good.
The values go up incrementally, okay. Say. So, Wham.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yes.
UK copy, £3. How much does a Korean copy cost?
Oh, gosh.
That's thrown you. You thought I was going to say Japan again.
Yes, I did. Wow, Korean. Okay, £40.
£45. You're pretty close.
I'm doing very well.
The Smiths. A UK copy, about 15 quid.
Or more, but yeah.
How much does a copy from the Philippines cost?
See, was stuff like that official?
Yeah. Otherwise, it wouldn't be for sale on Discogs, would it?
Not anymore.
No.
What I'm going to do, I'm going to go up incrementally, £55.
Oh, I'm going to give you that, 56.
Yes.
So you're 3 for 3. So if you're near enough, I'm going to give you the point. Fleetwood Mac Rumours. Talked about this recently on the show. UK copy, the first pressing, according to Discogs, 15 notes. Mm-hmm. How much is a Uruguayan pressing?
Yeah, I've seen this. Like, South American pressings are quite weird and sought after because they're so obscure and they're so kind of... we had one that from, I think, well, I'm not sure about where it was from, but the sleeve was two separate squares of card printed back and then front, encased in a kind of clear plastic bag, so that, do you see what I mean?
I know exactly. I've seen them before. Really thin in a plastic bag, yeah.
But each side is completely watertight, sealed within the plastic. Just really odd. £72.
I'm going to give you that as well. £77. So you're 4 for 4. They get tricky now, because I've owned the next three. I think it applies to all three. I could only find what people wanted. Nobody's ever actually bought one of these.
Okay.
So the Rolling Stones, Out of Our Heads, a UK copy, £29.
Mm-hmm.
One seller has a copy from South Rhodesia. How much do you think he wants
good,
for that?
It?
Oh, it's good, isn't it? That, do you think that was expats?
Yes.
They actually set up a label for expats in Rhodesia.
I mean, how cool would it be to have that?
That would be very cool. But how much do you think they want for it, Tim?
Some lunatic wants 250 quid.
£365. Queen.
Mm-hmm.
Queen.
Yep, popular band.
UK copy, 30 quid for a first pressing.
Mm-hmm.
How much for a copy from Chile?
Again, it's that South America weird, yeah. £460.
It's exactly £460. I'm trying to see if you could see through my notebook,
really?
But you clearly can't. Yeah. That's weird. You got it right. Exactly the right amount.
It's the Chilean in me, you see.
Yes. The last one, the Beatles' White Album.
Yep.
I think an early one is 100 quid here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're back to Rhodesia again because I thought it was so funny that they had a pressing plant. How much for a copy of the Beatles' White Album from... Actually, it's not really. It was South Rhodesia. I really want to find a record from Rhodesia now just to see it.
£1,200.
£650.
Yikes.
That's still a lot of money.
Yeah.
For what would effectively be something at a proper load of tat,
yeah,
as well.
I've never in my life seen a South Rhodesian record. I've seen a Uruguayan record. I think I might have seen I've definitely seen a Bolivian record. And I think Chilean. And a few... I'm trying to think African...
Yeah, I've got an African Depeche Mode album. Not South African.
Do you?
Yeah, I think it might. I think it might be Zimbabwe. I'm going to check when I get home. Cool. Yeah,
yeah, you definitely
should.
Which
I found in a shop in Manchester.
It's bizarre how these things. I mean, I think that one of the fun things about records is the travels that they make.
I play records all the time, especially overseas ones, and I think, how has this ended up with me? What's the story behind this record?
Absolutely brilliant. One thing I miss about living in London, which I did, is that the charity shops and junk shops of London have far more strange foreign stuff in, because London is much more multicultural than the southeast of England on the coast. So you would find strange African folk records and books from, books from Thailand and stuff in charity shops, because people who've travelled the world come here and then maybe passed away or just had a clear out. Their stuff ends up in the charity shop. I got an Afrobeat. I got a couple of Afrobeat records in South London from charity shops.
Listeners, if you've got any weird or wacky records from far-flung places, please do tweet them in. You can contact us on Twitter at WeBuyRecordsPod. You can email us. We really love getting your emails at WeBuyRecordsPod@gmail.com.
Travels with my vinyl.
That's it. Join us next time for more adventures in vinyl on We
Buy
Records.